14. If you want, you can look at the paper that I distributed, and it comes with both sides. One is our text, one is our Lord's Day 33, because we'll be looking at these two parts today during our my message. So if you want to look at this paper, or you can open your Bibles and reading with me. This is the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again to open your Holy Bible, your Word. We pray that would you please make our hearts humble. There's no our personal thoughts and experience involved with your Word, but simply, purely, we want to listen to your story, your Word. So please come to us and soften our hearts and help us to be ready to jump into your Word and studying together. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, starting with a question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 contains lots of things theologically. And today, I'll be focusing on something different. Here, Paul talks about Christians' spiritual struggling, which is basically old life between the old life and new life. Now, Paul begins with a powerful proclamation in verse 1 and 2 with the questions. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Now, this is what Paul tried to say. Since Christ died for us, and we also died to sin with Christ. And his logic concludes in verse 4. He says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, now we too might walk in newness of life. Very simple, we die to sin with Christ. That's not the end of the story. As Christ rose again from the dead, we have new life, the new life in Christ. And we are the one who have received the new life from God through Christ. That's what Paul tried to say here. Having new life, that is the question. Having new life in us, with us, in our life, through Christ, we know that. But the question is, do we really believe that? People out there, or even our Christians, do we really believe that? And with that question, listen to my story. That's not my story, a story that I brought today. One day, a little tiny young boy is playing with his friends at his house, a living room, which is a really big room. And while he was playing with his friends, running down the hall, then the boy was trying to throw the ball and catch the ball with his friends. When the boy tried to catch the ball from his friends, he accidentally touches a very expensive Chinese jar, which is one of very expensive things on the table near the furnace. His father bought it from the antique store last year when he visited China. So it was really expensive. It's hard to find it in the United States. Now imagine that. The Chinese jar is just slowly, slowly falling down from the table. And the boy was really nervous about it, trying to catch it to save it. However, there is nothing for him to save this Chinese jar because it's so fast. Finally, the Chinese jar hit the ground and make a big bang sound and it shatters everywhere. Totally broken. Now, do you know what the boy would say? Oh, no. I'm a dead person now. Now, the boy is in a big trouble. We know that. There is no way to put the broken jar back together. It's little pieces. Simply, he doesn't know what to do. And he doesn't know how to handle this miserable situation. And all of a sudden, his father downstairs or somewhere heard about what happened and comes to him in his room and finds out that his precious Chinese jar is completely broken. It's gone, broken into many pieces. And he said, "What's wrong with this? And what have you done to me?" Now the boy starts to cry and says, "Father, I am really sorry." And he says, "Please forgive me." Now, thankfully, his father, every single father would do, says, "Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, I will surely forgive you. It's okay. Don't cry. I will forgive you. Forget about the jar." But the next day, however, when the boy gets up early in the morning, he feels really sorry for his father and sad about the jar he broke. So he still feels some guilty feeling in his heart about that incident last night happened. So he goes to his father's room and says, "Hey, father, you know what? I'm really sorry. I broke your Chinese jar yesterday, and would you please forgive me again?" And his father says, "Yes, sure, son. Please don't think about that. I already forgave you yesterday, and don't worry about it." However, the boy could not believe that his father forgave him. He could not get rid of his guilty feeling in his heart. So he goes to his father's room again and again, and every moment, hour, every day, and asking for forgiveness. The boy could not believe that he was completely forgiven. Now, from this awkward story, do you see that something is wrong with this little boy? Maybe somehow we can say that we see ourselves in this story sometimes. With that mind, let's go back to Paul's logic from our chapter. Whatever we have done before, God would not count on our sins anymore. That's Paul's logic, because of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, Paul says, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." God already forgave our sins through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are no longer slaves to sin, that we have been set free from our sins. And we know that. However, the problem is not what we know, but the reality of our lives. Somehow, we cannot just accept that, believe that, the forgiveness of God, because we see our lives are still the same. Nothing has changed. If we truly believe it, as Paul says, we should be nothing but rejoicing in the Lord. But our reality is different. It always challenges us. We feel we are still in the middle of sadness, sorriness, and miserable feeling. And we are still living under sins and feeling bondage to sin. Well, feeling sorry about our sins isn't a bad thing. If we are healthy Christians, we should feel sorry about our sins and our sinful lifestyles. But that's not enough. We have to go one more step, not just only feeling and knowing, but we have to actually repent of our sins. That is repentance that we will be looking at today. Then what is repentance? What's wrong with the boy? He repented again and again. What's wrong with it? And who forgave us? And what happened to us if we repent of our sins? The answers we all found in the Lord's Day 33 in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism gives us all the answers. Now, according to the Lord's Day 33, especially questioned in 1988, here genuine repentance can be understood as follows. The first one, the dying away of the old self. One is gone. The second one, once one is gone, new thing is coming. That is, and the new coming, the coming to the life of the new. That happens when we repent of our sins. We see that two things are happening when we repent here. The old life, which is our sinful life, has to be fade away, must gone. And the new life in Christ has to come. We might think that that is easy, very easy to understand, but actually there are a couple of more things that we have to think about it. We can get about the meaning of repentance from this teaching. Repentance, it mentioned here is that the very first step of genuine repentance is to feel sorry about our sins like the boy. However, the catechism takes one more step from there. Not only feeling sorry about our sins, but also we must hate our sins more and more. Now, feeling and knowing about our sinful life is not enough because we know it. We know that we are not a good people. When we come to God and we say, I am sorry for what I have done, we know that God will forgive us. But the problem is that if we don't hate what we have done, it's our tendency that we will go back to our former life, which is a sinful life. The one time I read a very interesting illustration about prayer. Maybe it's not from a theologian's book, but I still remember that. It says, people come to Christ to lay down their burdens and before the cross and confess their sins and ask for God's forgiveness. That's a habit, come to God and asking God's forgiveness, which is good. But the thing is, after prayer, what happened in it is, people try to pick up all the burdens again from the cross. Everything, what they lay down on the cross. Worrisomes and doubts and unfaithfulness and temptations and many other sinful lifestyles just pick up and bring it back to their bag and going back to their world. That is a problem. If we, as Christians, if we really hate something, we don't do that again. We don't repeat it again. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism 89 says, hate it more and more. When we repent of our sins, we should hate them, our sinful lifestyles and everything, and our old selves, and more and more we hate them. This is not just saying, I hate my sinful life, but it actually feels disgusting. I remember that when I was in Calvin Seminary, one of the professors told me that this means disgusting, feel disgusting about your sin. When you think about your sins and your sinful life, disgusting, you can't just look at that anymore. That is the meaning of hate it more and more. Now, if we hate it more and more, it will take another step to logically, you know, it will take us to another step. That is 89, the Catechism 89 question and answer says, to be genuinely sorry for sin and more to hate and run away from it. Now we see that the genuine repentance requires of our real action, not just only feeling and knowing, saying, we have to do something. Not only saying sorry, knowing our sins, but actually doing something, run away from it. We should run away from our sinful lives. It means that we should not look back again and again. Never return to our old self, but running toward Christ. Only looking at Christ, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are running toward Christ. That's our goal. And those things making us this question, what are we doing here today? Are we running to Christ? Are we still running to the world? Now, Paul explains well the meaning of running away from our sins in verse 11 in our text today. It says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Running to Christ, come to Him means we die to sin and we alive to God in Christ, who gives us the new life. The genuine repentance leads us, therefore, a new life in Christ. So it happens when we go to God and ask His forgiveness, and when we just run away from our old self, and we will see that the new life in Christ happened to us. That is in Catechism question and answer 90. It says, what is the rising to life of the new life? The answer is a wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. Now here question and answer 90 tells us that two results, or we can say fruits of having the new life in Christ. The first one is joy in our lives, joy in our hearts. It says a wholehearted joy in God through Christ. So genuine repentance brings us the new life in Christ, and the new life in Christ brings us to true joy in Christ. I think that is really important. We are happy not because we have everything what we have. We are happy because we truly know, believe that death no longer has dominion over us. Romans chapter 6, verse 7, even and 9. We are happy because we know and believe that our old self was crucified with Christ. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Not because we are better than someone else, not because we know things like doctrines and more experience, but because of our old self was crucified with Christ. That's simple reason. We are happy because we know that we have a brand new life in Christ. Not only life, based on the John chapter 3, verse 16, but the eternal life in Christ. So all these things will bring us happy and joy when we think about Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says we have to always rejoice in Christ. It's not about money. It's not about money. It's not about honor. It's not about our experiences. But only Jesus Christ, He is our source of joy. Now His name, the name of Jesus Christ, is your source of life and happiness and joy. That will happen when we repent of our sins. I think that is really important. That is also our challenge when we repent of our sins. Joy should come to us in Christ. Now, secondly, the result of having a new life, our catechism says, we are now living for Christ. Our catechism says, a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. Now here we are doing every kind of good work, not because we want to be saved, we know that, but because we are already delivered from our sins, because we want to express our gratitude to God. That is a part of this catechism, starting from here and go to the Ten Commandments. One time Paul says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it's very clear. Many of us memorize this one. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And we have to remember these things today, Reformation night. For by grace, nothing else, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even more, Paul says, Galatians chapter 2 and 20, therefore, if we have new life, if God gave us gift, and I have been, this is Galatians chapter 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So those are reasons, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to do good works. People are confused. They want to do good works. And I was listening to a radio station this week about salvation. And still many of American people believe that by doing good works, they may go to heaven. No, it's not. Only Christ. So we know that because of the Christ, his death, a delight to do every kind of good work. And sometimes we wonder, what does it mean, a delight to do every kind of good? Thank you for the Heidelberg Catechism. It answers 91 gives us a guideline on how to live for Christ. It says, what are good works? It says, only those which are done out of true faith, conform to God's law, and are done for God's glory, and not those based on our own opinion, on human tradition. The Catechism teaches us that the meaning of do every kind of good is not based on our human tradition, nor what we think it is right. But he says, it is all about God's glory. What we are doing here at church or outside of a church, what we are doing is not for us. It's for God's glory. That's the kind of fruit of those who are repenting over their sins before God and have joy in their hearts. We are doing everything what is good before God in terms of God's glory, in terms of keeping God's law, which is the scripture. Now, we all need some sort of turning points in our lives. If we drive different direction, that it happened to me a lot. When I was in Michigan, I don't know, I have no sense of direction from Grand Rapids to Detroit, where my family lived. I called my family. I just left. I'll be there 3 hours later. And in the middle, like some Lansing or some area, I forgot. But in the middle of the highway, I tried to get my gas, and then I went back to Grand Rapids. I didn't read signs. It happened really many times. And then I see Grand Rapids. Oh, no. So then I called Jenny. Jenny, I'm sorry, I'm in Grand Rapids again. And she said, yes, I knew it. It happened to me again. But think about it. If we know that we are going to a wrong direction, what we have to do is turn, make a U-turn. I remember that, and I believe that we need to make many U-turns if we see something is wrong before God. We all need many turning points before God. So we have to make turns. We have to come back to Christ again and again. We need to repent of our sins again and again. But one thing is true. We have the new life. We have Christ with us, in us. And we died with Christ. We lived with Christ. Because once we come to Christ, what we all have to do is, based on our teaching today, we must hate sins and more and more. And we have to run away from our old sinful life. And we have to live, remember the new life in Christ. That's not the end of the story. And our catechism teaches that we have to live for the glory of God. We have to live for Christ. And Paul says, Romans 6 and verse 13 and 14, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. We know that today is the Reformation Day. It marks the 497th anniversary. It started in 1517, when Martin Luther, nailing his 95 theses to the church door. And then we summarize the meaning of Reformation like a faith alone, and Scripture alone, and Christ alone, grace alone, and glory to God alone, that we just look at everything in our text today. The same thing is true for our church history. We needed a turning point. The Reformation Day was the turning point for church history. Like this, people outside in the world, they need some sort of turning points of their lives. They need Christ. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the forgiveness of sins, their sins, through Christ, only Christ. And we are the ones who can present the gospel to them. We're not just only here to celebrate. Hey, this is 497. We are so happy. We are a reformed church. We are better than someone else. No, that's not the point. We are here today to be reminded of Jesus Christ, the meaning of Reformation Day. People out there, they need to hear what Jesus has done. They have to know that Jesus died on the cross. And we are the one who can present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. They need to hear what Paul says in chapter 6, verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live within Him. True repentance requires us many things. But based on our study, we have to feel sorry. We have to hate it more and more. We have to run away and run to Christ. I believe that is a good reminder for us to look at our life today as we're celebrating Reformation worship service today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us teaching from Catechism, also Romans chapter 6. Many times we say, I'm sorry, would you please forgive our sins? But we are still living under the law and still following our old lifestyles. But Heavenly Father, we pray that, would you please teach us and help us. We are the one who already have Christ in our hearts. We are the one who received a new life. So please help us to remember that. Not just finish that, but we have to go outside and telling people about Jesus Christ. Today is Reformation Day. Then help us to remember what Jesus has done for us. Christ alone. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.